Okay, before I begin, I need your help. Up here where Fred has posted the books, I have a information sheet with the Steel City on it, and here I have a beautiful Tupelo Press book of poetry. I am currently one of the 30 poets for Tupelo Press who posts a poem every day online. And this sheet will tell you how to Google it and enjoy them. But I am also asked to raise money for Tupelo Press, a wonderful independent press that publishes Stacy Waite, C.M. Burroughs, two local Pittsburgh artists, poets, among others. So if you go on there and choose to donate, either buy 9 books for $99 and you will get the best books in the world at a bargain, or please just donate $5 or $10. I'm asking everybody in the world to donate just a little, and that way I'll make my commitment, I hope. All the poems I'm reading tonight are poems I've written from May 1 to May 10. So we're starting out with a persona. They're all up there. You can see them later. We're starting out with a persona poem. This is called Setback. Defeated, setback, turned aside again. Alan sat at his desk, head in hand. Why had he ever chosen this profession? Or had it chosen him? Trial lawyer. He attended U Virginia Law School, as had his antecedents before him. Civil rights law, his first choice. Sued sometimes for good causes, but also defended murderers. Life is complicated. Took each case too seriously, Margaret said. They'd been married 50 years. That day, she walked in, saw him slumped in his chair, strode over. Too many times she had asked if he shouldn't retire, dear. This time she put a warm hand on his shoulder. Call it a midlife crisis at 75. Take up hang gliding, pierce an ear, don a dashiki, jeans, folk dance with the Quakers. His gaze, grim fading to fond. Thanks, my dear. Time to start reading Dante again, no doubt. The second one is dedicated to you men in the audience, and it's called Can You Claim Unicorn? And the epigraph is from chapter 5, The Hunt of the Unicorn. Suddenly surrounded, the unicorn kicked and gored a greyhound with his horn. The poet king of Navarre sees himself as unicorn. In virgin conquest, calls himself slain by the magic of her gaze. His heart is captured. Artists render chastity enthroned. Diana at her side for succor. A unicorn, goat furry, come to serve. In Mesopotamia, Adam stares in wonder. So many creatures to name. He reaches out, pronounces unicorn. God's hand responds to touch the tip of its single horn. An elevated beast. In China, the universe egg cracks. Pon Ku, a human, tumbles out. Chisels light, helped by dragon, tortoise, Venus, phoenix, and unicorn. The last, Ki'in, disappears into the forest. But still, the beast's voice, a monastery bell, welcomes a just ruler in times of prosperity or tolls the loss as great leaders die. The medieval unicorn fascinates sweet girls, and they him. His purity sweetens poison water, while their song, their gentle nature, draws him to their side. Hunters want his magical horn and try to gore him, while villagers, ravaged by disease, await his coming, his healing gaze, his touch. Elemental, untamed, the unicorn is not to be mythologized, stereotyped, or bolderized. Step forward if you're a one-horned beast. Proclaim yourself a green, red or blue man, a brown, gold, white, red or black man, universal in your one horn. Step up and claim yourself, unicorn, if you stand out among men as gentle to the ladies all the time. The next one is from poems I'm trying to create or already have, because Walt Peterson and I are going out to old folks' homes, and they want cognitive attention, so I decided you sing to them even if you can't sing. So I relate to Joanne, but not to Christine, who could sing. So imagine I can sing some of these songs, so get your Rolling Stone ears tuned up for the beginning one. This is called Ode to Grapefruit. Doctor, please, no more of these. What a drag, Zocor or Lipitor. So artificial, I'll reduce my cholesterol with diet. Besides, I must have my grapefruit. My friends say I'll die if I eat grapefruit, but what do they know? Die if I do, die if I don't. Everybody dies. Grapefruit for breakfast, just right, Doc. Warm toast on the side, a little butter, oops, margarine, and tea. You're a bright one, but you note 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, a Fibonacci sequence in nature, branching in trees, bracts with pine cones. Grapefruit sections often appear Fibonacci-ly, 13 segments inside. Bisect that fruit, pre-carve the sections, cut and count, eat with a runcible spoon. Someone once sang me a runcible song. Squeeze and squeeze the sunshine rind to drip juice into your bowl. Spoon up fruit, munch toast, slurp tea, suck up that juice, no spoon needed. Take vitamins with the juice, a swig of tea with lemon, but no artificial Zocor. Oh, it's a long, long way from November to May, but on these precious days, synonymous with breakfast, I must have my grapefruit. And the last one's directed to all of you out there. It's, what do you call those things? You know, one of those. Thank you for coming today, poets and writers. I address you from the stage, but feel free. Step up. Take the microphone if your poetic soul prompts you. You're the only clarion call left. Politicians long since crazy. More crazy than most, most slippery of slopes. Narcissus befriends many a one of those. Ministers and muftis, priests and pastors, lost their mission, their mittens, and their minds. And their ball games. More predictable than a nursery rhyme. Theirs is no longer a corner where you can pull out a plum. Musicians sing, let's do some living after we die. Face it, friends, they are poets, standing at the crossroad, trying to flag a ride. Don't nobody see them, everybody pass them by. But they ride with us, understand the sounds of silence. Writers, poets, pour your burning into the media. Let it shine out of you. Be the new colossus. Sing of our huddled masses, tempest-tossed. Murmur about what poets pen and mean it. Only you. Left with the key to the golden door. Thank you. Our last reader tonight will be Judy Yogman.